what you will prepare with is going to be equal parts knowledge, skills, and gear. In fact, the tools are really the last thing on the list.
That's Chris Begley, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations, and ahead, we'll talk about the Emergency Playbook, the Bunker-Free Guide to Disaster Preparation. Chris Begley is an archaeologist, professor, wilderness survival instructor, and the author of The Next Apocalypse. In his latest book, The Emergency Playbook, co-written with Amy Edelman, he offers a practical guide to preparedness that deliberately steps away from the fear and extremism often associated with survival culture. Chris, welcome to Conversations.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, these type of books often are approached from a position of fear and total collapse, but your book is different. So tell us about what sets this book apart from others.
Well, one of the things that I noticed, my co-author Amy noticed, was that because of the way some of this, the prepper life or even disaster preparedness is presented, it really turned people off. And there are people that just were not engaging. And it's something that we really need to engage in. So we, really explicitly decided we wanted to avoid sort of the fear-mongering. Now, this doesn't mean it's a naive approach or that we sort of soft pedal the realities, but there are different ways of doing it. And our approach is to avoid the kinds of things that you see in some of these other presentations. You know, it occurs to me that part of what people are doing is positioning themselves as experts or as heroic or as somebody to look up to in some way. And part of doing that is to create this urgency, to create this difficulty, to create a situation where you need that sort of hero to come in and save the day. And of course, that's just not the way it works.
We won't have time to cover everything in this book, obviously. So could you give us a brief overview of what readers can expect to find here?
Yeah, we've divided it into a few parts. And the first part is sort of the philosophy behind it. And there are a couple of parts to that. One is to try to assuage to a degree the anxiety that is artificially built in some of these other discussions and to suggest that, look, these are things that happen. They've always happened. People get through them. They get through them together, even these unprecedented type things. Now, the other part to this is sort of the benefits of preparing and how that can have a psychological effect. It can ease anxiety, not to mention the fact that it will position you better to actually make it through, whatever it is that happens. And that's in there. And then we go through a little bit about just some basic philosophies of, why sort of keeping a positive mindset is not a Pollyanna-ish position, why this power of positive thinking is more than a cliche.
And in the book, you talk about sort of this balance between self, preparedness and community. And we have to realize, we do have to look after ourselves, but there's a role for the community as a whole and our responsibility to others as well.
Well, there's a couple of ways, to think about that. Part of the motivation, for writing a book like this is so that your community is ready. And that's not just going to help those people, whoever they are, it's going to help you too, because you're part of that community. And the more people that have taken time to get some information, maybe to practice some actual skills, or maybe to get together some of the things that you might need, or make plans that you might need to use, that benefits everybody. And so that's part of that. Another part of it is I envisioned it as a counterweight to some of the really sort of selfish narratives that you have in some of these prepper books, build your bunker, get your guns, defend your stash of MREs or canned food or whatever it is you're protecting. And in what we see historically is that it's communities coming together and we really need to start to think on those levels. And that also, I think, will help us prepare in a different way. And especially when we think about the long term, there are certain types of preparation that you can't do in a day or a week or a month or even a year. Things like planting trees or creating a landscape that's resistant to fire or floods or drought. Those things can take decades. And, you know, it would have been nice to start a decade ago, but, you know, as the saying goes, the next best day is tomorrow. So that's the first part. From there, we go into specific scenarios.
Again, like I said, we won't be able to cover everything, but I do appreciate that it's a bunker-free approach. So we don't have to, you know, go to extremes, but what are some reasonable precautions, maybe some things we should have around the house, pieces of equipment, et cetera, that would help us out in the event of an emergency?
You know, one of the things that we really focus on is information. And the start of your preparation would be getting informed about a number of things. First of all, the sorts of disasters or challenges that you might face in a certain area. You know, in Kansas, perhaps it's not as much earthquakes as tornadoes, or if you're in an urban area, maybe a pandemic would look different than it would elsewhere. Or if you live, I don't know, in an isolated area versus, you know, a populated area. So the first thing would be to understand that. Understand your community. Who are the people around you? Who are your neighbors? These are the people you're going to count on. I mean, in this day and age, we have all kinds of communities, right? We have our online community. We have our work community. You probably have special interest communities. The people that you're really going to be with in most of these scenarios are the geographically close people. And so the ones that are around you. And so getting to know those folks, who are your neighbors? For instance, where I live in Kentucky, a couple of my neighbors are in their 80s, one's in his 90s. That's going to create a different situation than, you know, a few blocks over where possibly most of the folks are in their 30s and 40s. And so there's going to be things like that. You may live near doctors or farmers or engineers or mechanics, people who would have specialized knowledge. So the second part of that preparation is getting to know your community, what they need, what they have to offer, where you can fit in and where you can make a contribution. And then there's the sort of more mundane things, things you should get together so that you're not scrambling and looking for them if you have to leave your house for some reason. You know, think of a situation where it's flooding. All your paperwork could be gone if your house is gone. So what are those sorts of things? Your insurance forms, your birth certificates, your marriage certificates, other important papers, all of the things that are going to help you recover after the event is over. And then finally, there's sort of the tools and the gear that you might want. I think for most people, and what I would certainly recommend is to prepare a go bag, you know, a little backpack that you can grab that already has the basic stuff in it, the copies of your important papers inside, you know, a waterproof sleeve or something in case that happens, something like a flashlight and extra batteries, a transistor radio. One of the things that is really important and is really disconcerting often in these emergency situations is the ability or the inability to get information. What's going on? Right now, for instance, I'm in Croatia and I'm here on an archaeological project that we're doing. And there was just a really large wildfire about, I don't know, 3 or 4 kilometers away. And as we sit here in the village that we're in, looking at the ridge line, trying to decide, is this fire coming across the ridge? It was so frustrating to not be able to get information. You know, you really were used to looking at Google Earth and you really wish it was a live feed, right? You could look there and see, you know, we couldn't put up a drone or something because there were firefighting aircraft in the air and such. So that would be another thing, a way to get the information that you're that you're going to need. And then just some sort of nuts and bolts tools, you know, a multi-tool or, you know, a pocket knife, some string or some rope, maybe one of those plastic tarps that you can get anywhere for $5. You know, imagine you're fleeing your house because of torrential rain and it's going to flood and you have to migrate up the hill and wait it out. Your experience is going to be a lot different if you have a tarp that you can string up and you can get under there and you can get your radio out and you can start communicating with people and you can better plan on how to weather that storm.
So it sounds like that this book is very practical. It's going to give us information about how to deal with, you know, not world-ending kind of events, but things that will just happen in our community. So in some ways, what I've heard you describe, it's a hopeful book. It's an encouraging book compared to others.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, we do talk about some scenarios that are less hopeful, like nuclear incidents or political violence and political unrest. And in some of those, you know, there are different things to think about, but there are some underlying themes. And, you know, one of those is prepare those basic things so you can have them with you, whether you stay in your house or whether you have to leave. Have a source of information. And probably, especially in this day and age, one of the biggest challenges and one of the most important things is going to be to understand who to listen to. Who is going to give me good information? Who's going to give me the straight story that doesn't have another motivation or an ulterior motive beneath it? And of course, that's harder and harder to do.
What are some of the key concepts that you hope people are going to take away from this?
Maybe, like you said, hopefulness in a way is a key concept. And it's a key concept in the sense that hopelessness is just not an option. Not acting, not preparing, not engaging with these realities because you're overwhelmed. It's understandable, but it's also something we can't afford to do. And so we certainly don't need to hype the danger or the fear. There's plenty of that. There's plenty of anxiety and for good reason. So one of the takeaways there is going to be the hopefulness. Another takeaway, I think, will be that what you will prepare with is going to be equal parts knowledge, skills, and gear. In fact, the tools are really the last thing on the list. So, you know, one of the criticisms probably we've all had when you see some of these books is, I can't afford that. I can't afford all that stuff. And even if I could, where am I going to put it? You know, what if you live in an apartment in Manhattan? You know, your space is at a premium. And that's probably true for most of us. You know, so some people live in big old houses or they live out on a farm, but most people don't. And so the stuff is in some ways the least of it. And I think that would be another takeaway. Understanding that part of preparing for a disaster is not just surviving it and getting through it, it's also recovering afterwards. And this is whether it's a small localized thing like a tornado that probably, you know, has a very small footprint compared to a hurricane, for instance, or whether it's something like political unrest that changes the nature of the political system that you live in. On any of those, on any scale, really, it's going to be this knowledge that comes first.
This is a book that you co-authored. Can you tell us a bit about your co-author?
Yeah, and in fact, this is, I think, a very interesting situation, and it really is sort of an odd couple type situation. Amy Edelman is my co-author, and this book was her idea, and she approached me after reading my last book, which was called The Next Apocalypse, and it was about the way in which we envision things coming crashing down and how that is not the way it's ever actually happened and why we might think about those things in this way. And part of the focus of that book was on community and some of these things that you've identified in this book. And so she approached me wanting to write a much more practical book that would be aimed, at least in part, at people like her friends who were educated, engaged, and otherwise doing everything except preparing for the kinds of things that we might expect now that we have, you know, a rapidly changing climate, and now that we have a variety of things that could potentially create these kinds of situations. And so she contacted me about doing it, and we agreed to do it. It's written largely in her voice. You know, I tried to just stay out of the way as much as I could in a way, and that was on purpose. That was because of the demographic that we're going after, which is not the kind of person that might be attracted to the other sorts of prepper books. You know, they're already dealing with it. It's for people that have not engaged with these issues. Amy spent her professional life working in public relations. She's written a couple of books before, but one was about fashion. One was about, was sort of an autobiography in a way of her. And so this is not her world. In other words, she did not come out of, you know, a prepping household or something like that. And we found that very useful because her take on this and her approach to it, I think, was different a little bit than maybe somebody like me who has been involved in this world a little bit more.
Well, to learn more, the book is The Emergency Playbook, The Bunker-Free Guide to Disaster Preparation by Amy Edelman and Chris Begley. Chris, thank you for talking with me today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.